David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and this is Stacy from The Advisor. And today I'm very excited because we have a very special guest today. Her name is Susan Taylor, and she is a transformational mindset coach and facilitator. And she works with people, helping them create a healthy, safe space in their work and environment. And today I'm going to give the stage to her because she has such wonderful advice and things to share that you're going to find very useful in any working environment, in any business. So keep your ears open, listen and learn, because she has a lot of advice to give and it's very valuable. So Susan, tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do.
Oh gosh, thank you so much, Stacy. I really feel very privileged for the invitation to be with you. And for myself, I started my own business when I was 28 years old for some of the same reasons that you just mentioned in your wonderful introduction. I felt like there was something really missing, especially in the corporate business arena, around humanity and treating each other in ways where we could feel that we were valued, seen, and heard. And you mentioned the word safety, safe space, creating safe cultures where we could actually be human with each other in ways where we can learn and expand, as opposed to having it be a determination, if you will, of, you know, our work environment and the things that we might get promoted into.
Right. I think it's so important, you know, for us to, you know, when we work in, with, especially in the corporate world or any business, you know, any practice, you know, any place that you work, you really need to feel valued as an employee. And I feel like the boss, also the person in charge, the manager, the supervisor, the CEO, they really have to show a good example. You know, people, employees should not be afraid to come to their supervisor, the person in charge, and share with them, you know, how they feel. If they're uncomfortable with something or something, you know, bothered them, they should be able to talk to their supervisor or manager or CEO and explain to them what went on, you know, how that made them feel, and is there anything that we could do about it for the future? And there, you know, that is something that a lot of people are afraid to do. And I think sometimes too, you know, a lot of bosses are recognizing that they need to communicate better with their employees, you know, and they recognize that, you know, sometimes they may be too demanding, or they may just, you know, they may give orders, and instead of trying to teach and trying to, you know, be a mentor to them and give them good advice and, you know, encourage them and praise them for their good efforts. Now, I know that, you know, you're very strong about having a healthy culture, having good communication, a healthy environment, and a good, safe workspace. Can you tell people a little bit more and go more into depth about that and the importance of it and why we should have that in every working environment?
Absolutely. I really appreciate the question, because for me, culture is foundational, so much so that I actually see it as a value. And I'm not just talking about the culture within the organization per se. I'm also talking about our inner culture.
Yes.
Right? And how our own beliefs and mindsets play roles in how we interact with each other. Because I think, yes, the boss could be become a mentor. And as part of that, we need to be mentored.
Yes.
To try to shift, I think, some of the beliefs that typically and still exist in many organizations and businesses. People don't necessarily see this idea of mentorship as a way to help use working environments as vehicles for growth and development personally.
Right.
And then on the other side, you know, the employee, helping them to learn about things that they grew up with, that they still hold in ways that could help them maybe feel less fearful in how to, you know, speak to someone that they would consider to be an authority, for example.
Right.
So those cultures are so, so important. And you mentioned a couple words that perked my ears. You talked about listening. And I think that's something that we all think we know how to do. And actually, myself included, can learn a lot more about how to listen.
Yeah.
Because we're taught to have the answer And we're taught to have the answer quickly, especially in business, right? Like that's what we get paid for. We get paid to know what we're an expert in, and we do those things and we get a paycheck.
Yes.
So most of us listen to reply. That was a quote, I think, by Stephen Covey, that most of us listen to reply, not to understand.
Yeah.
So if I have like the next sentence in my head as I'm listening to you, how can I be listening to you?
Right.
So for me, it's really about getting that fundamental learning around how we listen, and listen so that we're trying to fully understand other, as opposed to project ourselves or our answers or what we think we know onto another person.
Right.
And that's going to require slowing things down in a world that it's incredibly busy and accelerated. And it also requires silence. And one of the things I like to share in this regard with the respect to listening is the word silent and the word listen in the English language contain the same letters.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, I don't think so either. It's pretty remarkable. You know, I really feel that, you know, a lot of times, you know, there we have a lack of communication, or even like understanding how to communicate with each other in a healthy manner. I believe that, you know, we can get the same message across if we say it in the right way. You know, sometimes it's just rephrasing the sentence and just stopping and thinking for a moment, how can I get my message across in a healthier manner where people are going to actually listen and not tune me out or not fear me? Because I think a fear factor too plays a big role in businesses too, is that the employees are fearful of their supervisors or the people in charge. And, you know, I think it's really important that, you know, we try to get rid of that fear and try to be a community versus trying to have authority, the authority figure, I'm in charge and, you know, this is the way it should be and I want this done by this time. That just causes stress on the employees. And when the employees are under stress, I don't think they can do as good of a job because they're constantly thinking, oh my God, I have to get this done. I have to get this done. And, you know, I think that could damper, you know, even the profitability, the community itself, that, you know, that safe space, I don't think is such a safe space anymore. It's more of a fearful environment that you're not going to be looking forward to, you know, going to each day.
Exactly. And to build on that a little bit, if I may, because it's such an important point, at least from my perspective, especially given that we're working now in these remote ways, most often through Zoom, like what we're doing right now.
Right.
And engagement, employee engagement has always been something that has been pretty low, especially here in the US. Yes. And the Gallup poll is a poll that measures these sorts of things every year. And I just read a month or so ago that disengagement is up even higher than it's ever been.
Oh, really?
Yes. So employee engagement is key. And so I think listening definitely fuels engagement, but also how are we going to engage when we're not physically together anymore?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Especially when we have situations where like we could turn our video off. And kind of hiding behind not being on the video and maybe even multitasking and doing some other things while people are participating in the Zoom meeting. And so I think it's really important. And one of the things that I like to do with my clients is brainstorm different ways that we can engage more intentionally with people, especially because most of our interactions these days are electronic or digital.
Yeah. And I think that's a great idea, is to mindstorm and to get everybody involved, make everybody feel like they're a part of something rather than just being told what to do, but making everyone a part of it and showing value to each suggestion, even though you might not be able to use that suggestion or it might not apply to, you know, well with what you're trying to accomplish, to still give praise for just coming out and being, you know, courageous enough to come out with the idea, you know, and reward them in some way, you know, we thank you. That's a great idea, you know, and, you know, and then, you know, and then just gear the conversation to wherever direction you want to get it to.
I love that. And for me, I think it's also about honoring people where they are. I think oftentimes, especially when we go into, let's say a meeting, let's say we're having a Zoom meeting and there's, I don't know, maybe a dozen people
right
in the meeting. What's one of the first things we do? We go right to the agenda. and we tick off the different topics that we're going to cover in the next hour.
Right.
But what if we could just pause for a minute and instead relate with each other first? So that's one thing that I do a lot with my clients. I teach them about what we call the check-in and the importance of what it means to check in with each other at the relational level first before we go into the agenda items. Because if we go from me to it, the agenda items, we miss out on the we, which is the trust builder. Why? Because it's about building relationship with me and someone else, which forms that we.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Yes.
And as part of that, also honoring people where they are. Because we don't ask enough times when someone's, let's say again, using the example of not being on the video on a Zoom call. Why? If they haven't put a message in the chat, like be right back, or, you know, chat etiquette now we have. we should be asking questions and learning about, well, you know, actually I'm really introverted. I'm feeling shy to be in front of this group of 15 people. I need to be off video. But my gosh, if I knew that about a person, do you see how we can engage more deeply when we just 100%. Understand them more?
Yeah. So what would be some of your suggestions on how to build a healthy, safe environment where people, you know, have a safe, you know, culture and good core values. And like you said, that safe space, you know, with a healthy mindset, how, you know, what are some of the steps that people could take to build that community within their business?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, it's something I think we mentioned earlier. It's really to make your values a priority. And if you don't have values, create them. Yes. Create a set of organizational values, because those values are going to remind us about the behaviors that we want to elicit as we're working together.
Right.
So for me, values are fundamental. Mm-hmm. And don't create them in a way where I've seen a lot of companies in the past, again, before the pandemic and before the lockdown, when we would be in office buildings all the time. You know, you walk in, there's this gorgeous lobby and there's the values on a poster on the wall. That's not what I'm talking about. Although it's a nice reminder, how are we incorporating those values into every single interaction in the business?
Yeah.
Whether it's meeting together, building our strategy, our growth platform, whatever we're doing at the moment. So how do we take the values, what they represent for us, and bring that in from a place of being into the doing, so to speak?
Yes.
Because it's not an either or. Being and doing are happening all the time. But let's be more intentional about those values. And then that links to something I already mentioned, right? Just a simple check-in when we're coming into an interaction with one another, whether it be in Zoom, in person, however, and building that trust and being intentional about building the trust. And as part of that, also have a checkout. Hey, what are you taking away? What's the most useful learning that you had from this conversation?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And then how are we also taking these sorts of things like values, check-ins, relationship building, engaging with each other through deeper listening into our other worlds?
Yeah.
Right? Outside of the organization, our private world and our personal world.
Right.
And not just practice it when we're, you know, together in the company, because this is what the boss told me that I have to do.
Right. Exactly.
So expanding it out, I think, is really important. Like, can you imagine, like, if you're a parent and you have children, listening to them in a different way? What could that do? Not just for the interaction parent-child, but for the child itself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. And I do like when you're in a meeting and the person who is conducting the meeting actually uses your name, you know, and so when you're talking, you know, they'll be like, oh, that's a great idea, Stacey, you know, or, you know, and you feel recognized, you feel a sense of importance because they, you know, when they're talking, they've included you or they remember you or the, you know, and it kind of makes the person, I think, feel good too, instead of just sitting there and you're just being lectured, you know, and you know, in that sense also.
Absolutely. Yeah. Being acknowledged through the person's name, I think, is a really valuable way to engage where people, they feel seen. They feel seen. So that's a really good point, Stacy.
I think, what are some ways that you feel that bosses and CEOs and people in charge could, you know, change some of their behaviors so they can start to be mentored if they're not being mentored already?
I think if we can pay attention maybe to the worldview that we're holding, along with some of the mindsets that we have, because it's those mindsets and the combination of them that inform that worldview. And I think oftentimes, again, like if we go back to our school days, at least here in the US, again, we're taught to have the right answer. Because when we get a series of correct answers, we get the A. And when we get the A, we're better and we know more. And so, you know, fill in the blank. What if we could just hold that and reframe it a little bit to, instead of me having the right answer all the time, what if I could help someone have more right answers themselves? Or even more interestingly, what if I could create spaces where there were more diverse points of views and perspectives so that I could learn and from that maybe come up with a different solution or a different answer that might even be more effective than the one I think I know. So I think one of the key things is to shift the worldview or at least be open and curious about creating a space or just a little opening of the door to where I don't have to have the right answer. And I know that's hard for a lot of senior leaders, at least in my work. So teaching people to come into any sort of situation or interaction from a place of beginner's mind, like, gosh, it could give me freedom not to know and instead just be there to learn. And then the sum of the parts kind of phenomenon, right? Where the collective knowing, the collective wisdom becomes the thing that creates the next new innovation that, you know, sends your company, you know, virally into the, you know, universe in a way where you're really clicking on all cylinders.
Oh, I agree. I find that when I was working with many CEOs or I was working with many people that were in charge of large groups of people, they, you know, some of them were kind of stuck in their old ways. And as time is evolving, people are changing, people's thoughts and their mindset is changing. You have sometimes you have these people who are in charge that are still thinking like, you know, it's 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Like they're so stuck in their old behaviors and they're not really thinking out of the box and they're continuing to do things and then they're wondering why things aren't working, you know, the way they want them to. But, you know, when you bring it up to them, sometimes they're listening, but you don't know if they're really listening. You know what I mean? Because that's all they know. You know, that's the way they were taught. That's what they continue to do. But life has changed. People are changing. And if you see now this new generation, their mindset is completely different than our mindset, you know, and there are a lot of good things that, you know, this generation, you know, you hear people complaining about the new generation, but they have a great mindset that, you know, a lot of the things that, you know, they're a lot more open-minded than we were, you know, and it's just because of the generations we were brought up and the family, you know, we cycle. You know, and so as time changes, as technology changes, as the world changes, people's mind change, you know, I think people, bosses and people in charge have to have a more open mindset too, and have to be willing to change. Now, do you find in your field, because you coach so many, you know, corporate executives and CEOs and people in charge, do you find that a lot of them might still be stuck in their old ways? Or are they more come to that point where they're kind of, you find them more open-minded to want change?
I think it's the latter for the most part. I do think people really want to be more open and they don't understand how. They don't, okay. They're not equipped with the tools and practices that could help. And I think that's where I come in and maybe add a little bit of value.
Mm-hmm.
Because to the points you made with regard to the younger generations, one thing that I noticed, because I also I also work with younger people, and they're really lamenting for meaning in their mm-hmm. work. They really want to make a difference. They want to be in service to something that's like bigger than themselves.
Yeah.
And that links to what we were talking about a few minutes ago with regard to that worldview and coming in ways that are more open. Because how could I, as a CEO, an entrepreneur, a manager, a senior leader, be in service to that younger generation?
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm probably going to be gone sooner than they are. So what am I leaving behind as a way to help them cope
right.
with what's next for them in the future and right. tap into that sense of service? Because I really believe that that's how they're wired.
Yeah.
I believe that. At least that's what I see in my work with them.
No, I agree with you. I see that also. I see that also. They want to see change. They want to, mm-hmm. they want to be a part of something that's bigger than themselves. Like you said, you know, they really, you know, they see a lot of flaws and they want to change those flaws. And a lot of them have, if you see their behaviors and their thought patterns, it's a lot different than, you know, the way we were grown up to be. Sure. And it's good. You know, I like the open-mindedness because they're open for new solutions, better solutions, you know, mm-hmm. so they're willing to take it in, you know, and they're not, you know, holding a barrier up and saying, no, this is the way I was taught. This is the way it should be. And that's that, you know, and I think, you know, the more open-minded we are, the more willing we are to accept change, the more successful I think businesses will, you know, be. You know, what is it your intake on that?
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
I completely agree. And I think linked to the mindset piece in particular, and I want to be clear here because I don't want to give the false impression that this is only, or if I could just change my mindset.
Yeah.
Because we have both, we, myself included, right? We have fixed mindsets.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that we get stuck in oftentimes are linked to deeper things that we have to kind of discover, uncover, and unravel.
Yeah.
And then we have growth mindsets. Right. Which is where we want to try to lean to when we think about being more open or coming at things from beginner's mind. But they're both useful, right? If yeah. I have to hold the mindset that if I put my hand on a hot stove, mm-hmm. it'll burn, I probably want to hang on to that mindset.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So it's important because for me, it's really more about the journey and it's yeah. the noticing. When I yeah. notice, oh, Susan, thought you worked that one out, dude, you know?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's still there, right? It's still there.
Yeah.
It's the noticing though, that I think really makes the difference. And what I try to help my clients do and do it in ways that feel easy and mm-hmm. trusting self and in flow, because we're all human and we all go through the same stuff. We just don't think we do. I think oftentimes right. we compare ourselves behind the scenes to kind of like the high reel
yeah.
or the movie version, right, of another person. And
yeah.
it's just not like that, I promise.
No, you know, I that's like one of the biggest problems in all industries is that people will compare themselves to people that, let's say, they've just gotten the business in the first 5 years and they compare themselves to someone that's been in the business for over 30 years. And like you said, or they look at someone who has celebrity status, but that's a completely different world, you know, and it's not, you know, you can't compare yourself to someone that's been in the business like 30 something years and think that you should be on the same level. You're not going to be on the same level, but maybe, you know, if you mentor that person and you look at what they're doing and what they did in the past, you can grow to get to that level, you know, and learn from them and you know, and make them one of your mentors. But, you know, people have to realize that you can't compare yourself to the people next to you because you've two different people, two different journeys in life, and you're never going to have the same experiences because you're just a different person. Your mindset might be different, you know, but we can learn from people that are above us, you know, and excel in that respect. Do you feel the same way?
I do. In fact, a lot of the work that I've been engaged in for over three decades is creating what we call learning organizations for the very reasons that you just shared. How can we take what's different about us and create that learning opportunity through our work and through the business itself to come together in different ways? And again, do it in a way where we slow things down a bit so that we can listen.
Yeah.
As a way to understand. And as part of that, notice, linked to the noticing piece, notice the assumptions I'm holding.
Yeah.
Notice the points of view. And especially when those points of view are diverse, mm-hmm. put them out there to examine yourself and for others to examine so we can learn from the difference.
Exactly.
Like that's the key, because and learn and put them out there in a way where we're not defending that point of view, especially when we feel really strongly about it, right? Because when we defend, we divide.
Yes.
But when we can hold the diverse opinions and views and experiences, that's when we create harmony.
Oh, 100%.
And that's what I want businesses to be. I want businesses to be harmonious, safe spaces where we go, yes, to work, to earn a living, and get meaning out of that because we're learning, we're listening, we're engaging, and we're interacting in ways that feel so fulfilling.
Yes. 100%. And I wish people understood that more, because a lot of times people get defensive, even with constructive mm-hmm. criticism, they go on the defense right away. And if we just listen and we just, you know, we acknowledge what they say and we don't take it as offensive, you know, we don't take it as defensive, you know, because someone, you know, if they're saying it in a nice way, if they're trying to get their point across, you know, listen to them, you know, and sometimes people do have a hard time communicating. They don't have those communication skills, even though they might be the sweetest person on the planet. Sometimes they just don't communicate well, and take that into retrospect and take it in and say, okay, that person, you may not be saying it the greatest way to me, but what message are they trying to get across? And if we could take a deep breath and just like listen for a second and then come back and communicate, and maybe later on when everyone's at a better level of calmness, say, you know, next time we have an issue, could you please talk to me in this respect, you know, because it, you know, that the way you said that, you know, kind of made me feel this way, but I understand what you say and I respect what you say, but maybe next time you could say it a little bit differently. If we just were able to communicate, we would maybe have that, you know, harmonious effect that you're talking about. You know, I don't know, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think what you're saying is gold. And the way I would phrase it with regard to, let's say, a sort of strategy that we might mm-hmm. consider is assume positive intent. Always assume positive intent. Mm-hmm. I don't think, at least in my small corner of the universe, that the majority of people I come into contact with are out to harm or hurt me.
Yeah.
Right. But when we're fueled, to your point, when we're fueled or we're scared and that emotion is like, you know, vibrating through our body, sometimes it's challenging to speak in ways that might be more gentle mm-hmm. Or be perceived as more loving. So what I heard you say that I think is just so, again, fundamental is assume positive intent. Always assume positive intent until we learn otherwise.
Right.
And it's simple. It's almost like, okay, long, long, long ago, we all thought that the world was flat. And that was the belief, right?
Yeah.
Until, guess what? We discovered, actually, no, it's not, mm-hmm. right? So always assume positive intent until you discover, well, actually, with this person, I have too much history and too many experiences to suggest otherwise.
Right.
And then you're probably not in relationship with that person if you're being healthy and taking care of yourself, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Now, when you go into these facilities and you go in these businesses, now, is this a consistent coaching that you need to constantly do and stay up with, or these you teach strategies and you teach techniques to people that they could actually utilize after they've learned it, after they've learned how to incorporate it, after you see them actually doing it and they are capable of doing it by themselves? You know, are these strategies and tools that you teach are like lifelong strategies and tools that they could actually naturally incorporate into their life if they have the willingness to take time to learn it, and then it just comes in naturally. And after a while, they probably don't even realize, but they've improved their behavioral skills and they've improved their way of communicating with a group of people, and they can just move on and just have that healthy space that you're talking about, that safe space at work.
Yes. And sometimes it takes, you know, longer than it might take in a different situation. So for me, I'm just really, really keen to meet people where they are. Mm-hmm. With regard to the coaching, I do that one-on-one, I do that with teams, and then I do it with multiple teams, because I have this idea in mind where we can link the me, the we, and the us.
Yeah.
And when we do that in a way that feels harmonious, it actually, to your point, has the ripple out effect.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of times people tend to fragment or separate who they are or think they should be at work and who they are and think they should be at home, when in fact, we're the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And whether we're conscious of it or not, we are behaving in very similar ways.
Right.
So I don't believe in coaching anyone less than 6 months, especially
mm-hmm.
when we're dealing with mindsets. I mean, these are things that are ingrained in our first 7, 8 years of life, these beliefs. So
mm-hmm.
sometimes it takes a while to unravel those, but depending on where people are, I'll go years, I'll go months, and I won't stay too long, because if I am, then I'm not doing my job.
Yeah.
But at some point, you know, you have to equip and then feel like you're equipped, because I don't want to be the thing that people kind of latch on to for the safety blanket, right?
Yes, yes,
they
yes.
can take what they've learned, they bring it home, they bring it to their communities, and it does have a ripple out effect that I'll never know about. And I just think that's really cool. It's a cool aspect of the work, actually.
And I think you said something really important, because when you mentioned, I can't tell you how many people are like, well, it's two different worlds. And when I'm at home, I act like this. And when I'm at work, I act like this. And I can't tell you how many people, they think they divide themselves, you know, because
mm-hmm.
like, I won't do this X, Y, and Z. I'll behave like this when I'm home, and I'll behave like this when I'm at work. And it's two different worlds. And they, in their mind, in their mindset, they separate the two. So, you know, what do you think about it? I know you just went over it, but like
mm-hmm.
overall, you know, what do you want people to really understand about that mindset?
What I would like people to really consider and understand about that mindset is that I hear in that a lot of shoulda, coulda, wouldas.
Mm-hmm.
What I should be, who I'm supposed to be, what I could be.
Right.
Whereas what I try to do, as we kind of peel away the layers of the onion, so to speak, to get to the core. And what I mean by that is my authentic self. Because
mm-hmm.
I can be in a job and not feel fulfilled. Why is it not feeling fulfilling? Because it's not tapping into my heart, to my soul.
Yeah.
Right. And so when we get to the place where we've, again, stripped away some of those layers and we're at that authentic core, then there is no separation.
Yeah.
And I think we have a lot of masks. And I think that's one thing, frankly, that COVID taught us, when we were wearing those masks. Right? We were hiding behind certain things, and all you could see were the eyes and the ears.
Yeah.
So that was very symbolic to me with regard to the work that I do with others, because we pretend a lot. And especially in business, my experience is that no one really likes the non-pretender. No one really likes someone who's going to challenge and show up authentically. And yet that's what we have to do if we're going to tap into those values. Otherwise, we're not being authentic about those either.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we create that space where we really just show up and realize that we're going to make mistakes, we're going to fall, but you get up again and again and again. And then as you're working on that, stripping away again, these layers, there's nothing more fulfilling than authentically making money in ways that build healthy relationships. And by the way, all this links to our health, physically, emotionally, and otherwise, right?
100%. They say 70% of all illnesses are caused by stress.
Absolutely. I believe that. I believe in dis-ease. When I am in dis-ease with my authentic self, when I am out of alignment with who I am and the gifts that I bring that are unique to me, that's when I get sick.
Yes. Me too. Me too. Now, if you had to take today, if you had to take everything we talked about, what are some important factors that you'd like to emphasize to people today, to our listeners?
So, always assume positive intent. I want to say that
Mm-hmm.
again. The ideas around listening, I think, are very, very important. And I would say the underpinning of all of what we've talked about, if we could just find a way, however that is for ourselves, to
Yeah.
take life a little less seriously, like be
Mm-hmm.
playful, find
Yeah.
ways to have fun. That
Yes.
wonderment we had as a child, how do we rejuvenate that in ourselves?
Yeah.
Because we're all in it together, even though we feel so alone. We're
Yeah.
all in it together. We are so much more similar than different.
Yes.
So what could it be to just honor my imperfections and
Right.
realize I'm in it with, what, 7 billion other people or however many people are on the planet? I don't even think I
Yeah,
know,
yep.
but just, yeah, have some ease and grace on yourself and
Yeah.
be willing to work with a coach or a mentor, whoever that is,
Right.
or some sort of program that resonates with you to help you get over some of those barriers so that you can take the limiting beliefs and turn those into limitless potential and
100%.
live your life in a way that, like, I want people to fall madly in love with their life.
Yes.
That's like my deepest wish for everyone.
I like that wish, and I hope that wish does come true, because I think if you could really fall in love with your authentic self and you can really be happy with who you are and you could look in the mirror and like who you see, just imagine all the good you can do in this world, if you have that mentality. That is so important. I think that's a very good point. Now, what are some of the services that you provide to people?
Thanks for asking, Stacy. So I do a lot of coaching one-on-one. I also have group coaching programs. They're fundamentally based in aligning our inner culture with the outer culture, whatever
Yeah.
culture that is, whether it's business, personal, private. And I also do a lot of online programs, fundamentally based in mindset work,
Right.
but uncovering that and not just creating strategies, but from the customized strategies that you want to create for your
Yeah.
life and
Right.
business, creating also practices and tools, like we were
Mm-hmm.
saying earlier, that you can utilize practically
Yes.
to have impact immediately.
Right.
Right? It's not like we're going to have to go through 5 years of coaching to know
Yeah.
we're doing this in real time and it's unfolding with each step.
Right.
Right now I've got a new program that's called Reignite Your Spirit. It links to
Oh, I
what we were
like
just
that.
talking about, right?
Yeah.
About falling in love with our life. And I work with entrepreneurs and senior executives who, gosh, they've made it to the top or they've created the business that they love, and yet they kind of get there and they're like, is that all there is? Like there's this
Yeah.
kind of letdown in a way.
Yeah.
So how do we rejuvenate all of that and reignite their
Right.
spirit in ways that touch their heart and soul and tap into their true authenticity to live the life of their dreams?
I love it. I love that. That's so special. Now, where can people find you on the internet?
So I have a LinkedIn account. I have a website. I've got an Insta account. So different social media. I'm on Facebook a little bit. But mostly through my websites, through vehicles like this. Again, I'm so grateful to have been invited to this conversation. I thought it was fantastic. But predominantly LinkedIn and I think Instagram and then just reaching out to me through my website or through different links that might be available to
And
people.
what's your website address?
It's generoninternational.com, GENERON. International, all spelled out, dot com.
We'll put that
Thank
in the description, so we'll make sure everybody
you.
has it.
Thank you.
Well, this has been amazing. I am so glad you came on. I think it's so important because in today's society, we see so many, businesses going downhill. COVID put an impact on our lives. And then afterwards, people's personalities, things have changed so much in the workforce. And you find that there is a lot of difficulty with a lot of businesses struggling to make ends meet. Even corporate businesses, businesses that have been here forever are now struggling, you know, and the question is why, you know, if we change certain things, if we changed, you know, the safe space, if we change the culture going on, you know, could that have an impact, you know? And sometimes people don't think about that, you know, it's not always about the product. It's not always about how you sell the product. It's about the people working behind, you know, the product and people that who make it happen. Now, if we can really communicate and make everyone a whole, like we were talking about, and give the, and create that safe space, you know, would those businesses thrive? You know, and that's a question we should all ask ourselves, that, you know, have businesses and want to see their businesses thrive and not just survive. You know, let's look at that safe space and see what we can do, because I think that safe space has a huge impact on how businesses really, you know, become a thriving business and they not just thrive, you know, survive in each week by week. But I think everything you said today had so much value, so much great information you provided today. I love, you know, all the different tools and techniques and suggestions that you made today. It was phenomenal. And I thank you so much for coming on the show. You've been just a wonderful guest, and I hope we can, you know, have you back on the show. You're just a great person to talk to with wonderful ideas. And thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Stacey. Deeply, deeply appreciated. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a great day.
You too.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.